But now here on Blueprint for Living, the biggest problem, it seems to me, with the rise in foodie culture is that it's become almost taboo to admit that you just don't care. If it's socially challenging now, imagine how it must have been for previous generations of women, on whom the expectation of domesticity included the assumption of culinary aptitude. It must have been close to an act of sedition to confess that you despise cooking. But US author Peg Bracken did just that. She wrote a book in 1960 called The I Hate to Cook Book. Rachel Carbonell reflects here on her relationship with that feisty kitchen Bible.
I'm Rachel Carbonell, and I love the I Hate to Cook book. I inherited it from my great aunt. It's by Peg Bracken, and her name was also Peg, which I think is a name that is very much of that era as well. And I have actually never cooked a single recipe out of this book, but I have read it from cover to cover so many times simply because of its incredible, funny, feminist irreverence, basically. This is a woman who, at a time when it was far more politically incorrect to admit such a thing, would just spend the whole time taking the piss out of how much she hated to cook, but also how to then cover that up and still come across as a really good wifey, basically. And there was such a cheekiness to that. And even though it's a different time now where, you know, I think it's okay for us to admit that we don't like to cook, there is still this kind of culinary pressure, particularly, I think, in the middle class. In the sort of demographic that I travel in, women, they like organic food and they like tasty food. There's the whole Jamie Oliver movement and the Nigella movement. And even if you don't like to cook, there's this incredible pressure to cook really healthy stuff that still tastes good. But I think a lot of women are still like I am, which is I'm still cooking the same, look, I'd like to say 7 or 8, but maybe 5 or 6 recipes, maybe even that's an exaggeration, a week. And there comes these nights where I can see that the children are basically having to try and poke it down with a stick, because if they have frittata on a Monday night one more time, someone's going to lose the plot. And I feel the same way. So it still resonates today, even though it was something that was written in the 1960s, but it's just really, really funny.
That's Rachel Carbonell in confessional mode there. And in honour of Rachel and of Peg Bracken, we're going to explore this surprisingly controversial idea a little further. Kerry Sackville is a blogger, columnist and author of 2 books, including her 2011 book, When My Husband Does the Dishes. That book includes an entire chapter on Kerry's hatred of cooking. Kerry, is it chiefly grim routine that makes you loathe the kitchen?
You know, I never got into cooking. I never enjoyed it. And I think it's less, for me, the routine, as being forced by routine to get into a hobby that I don't take any interest in. I mean, for me, it would be like having to perform some kind of element of sheep husbandry or horticulture every night. It's a hobby that you are required to have, and I get no joy out of it, and yet I'm still required to do it. And I think that's, It's a very unfortunate position to be in when you have 3 children who still require feeding.
You make that point very amusingly in your book, is that parenting comes with it the expectation that you're not just having to worry about yourself when it comes to cooking, but there's a kind of functional into it that really saps whatever little joy there might have been out of it.
Well, there is, and it's fine to cook a wonderful meal once a week, and what you would hope is that the children would just dine out on that for the rest of the week. But the problem with children is that they require feeding 3 times a day.
And if you're lucky, I mean, often double that.
Well, yes, but you know, even I can send them off to get their crackers and snacks and prepackaged food for the other 3 or 4 or 5 meals. But every single night they want a hot dinner, and my children are at the point now where they'll actually say to me, no, noodles are not acceptable anymore, we can't just eat plain noodles. And the reason I love this book so much is because it took that shame out of it for me, because we have a completely different pressure on us these days. It's not even so much the whole feminist idea of where women are meant to be in the home cooking, but it's also this added pressure of food culture and the shows on TV. And for me as well, being someone who spends a good deal of my life and career online, you get onto Instagram and probably 3 out of 4 photos are of food.
Oh, and the other one's a cat.
And the other one's a cat. Look, no, there's nothing wrong with cats. We're not going to get into that, because I have a lovely cat and I'm happy to take photos of her all the time. That's actually something I enjoy.
Well, now I'm judging you for a whole new set of reasons.
Judge away. But none of my Instagram photos are of food unless we happen to go to McDonald's and I take an ironic photo of that. And there is this shame about it. And
So yeah. Tell me, Kerry, how did you come across Peg Bracken's book? Did someone kind of pointedly give it to you, or did you find it for yourself?
I found it for myself. And I have to say, I've looked at the recipes over and over and over again, and they're not recipes that I would use now, but I'm very inspired to write my own modern-day version of the I Hate to Cook book, because she still lived in the 60s in an era where it was okay to eat, you know, tin shrimps and cream of celery soup and, you know, shove a packet of grated cheddar onto a pack of fish sticks and call it dinner.
It is hilarious how inedible so many of those recipes look. Like, it's so, so charmingly written, but you would not cook any of them, would you?
Well, I'm just looking at one now which involves soda crackers, whatever they are, a 6.5-ounce can of mince clams, which I probably wouldn't feed my adored cat, Worcestershire sauce, salt, pepper and eggs. I'm not quite sure what the eggs have to do with it. But, you know, she didn't have the same pressures that we do about trying to feed your family healthy organic food. So we have that on top of the whole, you know, you actually need a meal on the table.
It is worth stressing for listeners, the book is fiendishly funny. I mean, some of the recipes, one that I particularly like, says brown the garlic, onion and crumbled beef in the oil, add the flour, salt, paprika and mushroom, stir and let it cook for 5 minutes while you light a cigarette and stare sullenly at the sink.
Oh, exactly. And all the intros are hysterically funny. And I love her take on life. She says, for example, that one should never accept a dinner invitation because eventually you are going to have that person back in your home and you're going to have to cook for them. And I feel that all the time. I love dinner invitations. I love being invited somewhere where I don't have to cook. And I love it when my kids are invited because we can all be fed. But then I get a sense of dawning horror. They are going to expect something in return. They are going to expect to come to my house. And that fills me with such trepidation, I cannot tell you, because if it is hard for me to cook for my three children, it is virtually impossible for me to plan a meal for 12 guests.
Pizzas. That's the only answer, Kerry.
Well, that's
pizzas
what
every
think.
Time. But look, I am interested because you're right. It's a different time to the early 60s. And it's not just about hatred of cooking now. I think the rise of celebrity chefs and cooking shows and stuff can make cooking intimidating. I want to just hear briefly from someone else we heard from this week about her concerns about the kitchen.
I'm Ranjana Srivastava. I'm a cancer specialist and a writer, as well as a columnist for The Guardian. I don't know whether I hate cooking as much as I'm not confident cooking. And let me tell you why. So I look up a recipe and it looks wonderful. And usually it has a page of ingredients. And I think half these things don't belong in my pantry. The other half, if I bought, I might never use them again. And my confidence level all of a sudden plummets. And then I look at the picture of the food and think, that would be nice to make. My second problem is, and this I think is the greatest problem as far as I'm concerned, is I'm very distracted when I'm cooking. And I genuinely think that if you have to cook well, you not only have to be passionate about it, but you actually have to attend to it. So the common problem that I have when I'm cooking is I think about what I could be writing or what I could be reading. Do my kids have takeaway every night? No, they don't. I make simple meals, but I have to pay tribute to the greatest savior in my life, and I'm spoiled, I know. It's my mum, who is the most wonderful cook I know. She cooks absolutely delicious Indian food. Mum loves to cook, and so more often than not, we find our fridge stocked with mum's foods. I know that's spoiled.
If Ranjana's mum wants to come around to my house, I'm happy to be spoiled equally. I'm Michael Williams. You're listening to Blueprint for Living. And I'm talking to Kerry Sackville, blogger and author, about hating to cook. Kerry, does your mind wander when you cook?
It does. It wanders to all the other things that I would rather be doing. And I completely relate to that. It wanders to what I could be writing, wanders to who I could be speaking to, even, you know, spending time with my children instead of cooking for them. But it also wanders a lot to what I could be eating. I find it very hard to delay gratification. If I'm hungry and I want dinner, I want it now. And I find these recipes, first of all, I don't pre-plan very well. So I don't think about preparing dinner at 5 because I don't have the trigger to tell me I'm hungry. And by the time I am starving, you know, 6:30, 7 p.m, I don't want to wait then for another 2 hours while I cook dinner. And the other thing I think about is what the mess is going to be afterwards. And you cannot cook these wonderful meals without generating a huge amount of shocking life-draining mess in the kitchen. And this is what you don't see in these shows. This is what you don't see Jamie Oliver doing, or in My Kitchen Rules, or any of the other shows that glorify cooking. You don't see the hours that they're going to spend afterwards scrubbing the pans.
They've lied to us. But see, I love to cook. I'm going to be annoying and just say I very much enjoy the act of cooking. I find it kind of vaguely meditative. But part of that is laziness.
Are you coming and living with me and my children?
Possibly, although the reason I love it is because I love the domestic contract that says the non-cook has to do the cleaning up of the mess. Surely that's the trade-off.
Well, I never had that trade-off, and I think that that's a wonderful idea. I think it very rarely comes to pass. My children now are much more helpful at cleaning up, but none of us enjoy it. I don't think anybody enjoys cleaning up, and it's like the whole, you know, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. I think that most things taste better than skinny feels, but I don't know if any meal tastes as good as the pain of cleaning up. And I don't think it's a great trade-off. I am constantly tempted to walk down the street and go to the myriad of shops there and buy something. In fact, I chose our location. I chose where we would live, partly because we were near a whole lot of takeaway venues and cheap pizza joints.
That's an important real estate choice. You've triangulated your location from home delivery. I'm just curious, you know, the other big contrast with the period when Peg Bracken was writing is obviously one of kind of gender and gender expectations. Her book is very much written to women. Rachel Carbonell referred to it as a kind of feminist bible. Do you think it's harder for men to get away with loathing cooking now because they're supposed to be Renaissance men?
I think it really depends on the man. I mean, I was speaking to a girlfriend about that just today, and she also loathes cooking, and she says part of the reason she thinks she sticks with her husband is because he loves to cook. And it seems like a very special thing that women of my generation, and I'm in my 40s and my friend is in her 40s, have a partner who loves to cook. I think it's different for the younger generation. I think that couples newly getting together, I think that couples in their 20s, there is much more of an expectation, and you still don't champion the man for, wow, he loves to cook. I think for women of my generation, it is still a special and unusual thing. But we're getting there. And I think that, you know, with shared responsibilities, you do have to cook less. And if the partners are equally sharing the load, then you have to cook twice a week, maybe instead of four or five times. And you can cook twice, he can cook twice, you can get takeout twice, and then, you know, hopefully your parents provide the rest.
This is what no one on dating websites tells you, is that you should forget the superficial choice of whether you're physically drawn to a person. You should just find out how good they are in the kitchen.
And let me tell you, now that I am a single person, because I did divorce a couple of years ago, men ask that all the time. I was stunned. You go out with somebody and they ask you whether you enjoy cooking and what your favourite dishes are. And I didn't know. When I was dating 20-odd years ago, this was not something that was routinely brought up. Maybe it was assumed, or maybe it was, you know, something that you would discuss later on down the track. But men on first dates will ask if you enjoy cooking. And I'm horrified because I don't. And I feel that's a massive black mark against my name. I have to be extra scintillating and extra fascinating and offer something else to make up for my pathetic lack of kitchen skills.
Well, I hope listeners are taking a note that it's not going to be cleaning up after the cooking that makes up for the lack of cooking there from you. You've outed yourself, Gary.
No, but I will work really hard to be able to afford someone who can come in and clean.
I don't know if Peg Bracken would be happy that this segment ended in you basically begging, and I'm sorry that we got to there, but Kerry Sackville, it's good to hear a foodie who doesn't feel obliged to be a chef themselves. Thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure, Michael.
I'm Michael Williams, and I've been speaking with columnist and author Kerry Sackville about Peg Bracken's classic, The I Hate to Cook book. If you share our guest's disdain for the culinary arts or just want a date with Kerry, let us know either via Twitter, which is at RN Blueprint, or comment via the Facebook page or the relevant part of the RN website.